Invite all of you to that. That will be at 9 o'clock. And then on Christmas Day, we'll have a short service, 30 to 40 minutes, a more casual service. And that will be Christmas Day here. And we would invite any of you, especially those that aren't tied up with family events that day, please come and be a part of our celebration of the birth of our Savior. Any other announcements? Yes, sir.
I just wanted to, in the spirit of contemplation and prayer, remind everybody that we're going to have a service of healing and restoration the 8th of January, and that will be in lieu of the Bible study, so looking forward to having people come there.
And that also will not be in our sanctuary. It will be far more centrally located, and three of our members live there, but it will be in the community center at Windhurst Heritage, just past the Neighbor's Place restaurant. So it will be much easier for people to access and having to drive here. Thank you for that. Let's move to prayer requests. We want to, I guess I forgot an announcement, so it'll tie into this prayer request. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And it's also Patty Miller's birthday today. And we are grateful for your birth. And we've gone to a lot of trouble. We're going to be having a meal following the service today. And we've got two members of our church who have birthdays on Christmas Day. And if any of the three of you slip into thinking the meal is for the three of you, talk to me. We'll have to... But we celebrate your birth, but we all celebrate all births because of Jesus Christ. But we are grateful, Patty, for your birth. And the announcement is we are having our annual Christmas meal immediately following the service. The church is providing the meat. And at this time, if you didn't know that, I guess it's too late. Bring a dish if you have one, and we'll have a great time together. That will be immediately after the service. You can either walk down the steps or drive around. Now let's move to prayer requests. We want to keep Sarah Conaway. She's been here at times with a friend of Carolyn's. Her son, Evers, who's 7 years old. His right arm has swollen, and they really don't know why. So he's going to have some fluid drawn out, and they're going to test for bacterial infection. He's very discomforted. He has, if I can say, I think it's fine to say, severe ADHD. So he's has some difficulties that make the treatments and just getting information from the doctors difficult. So pray for that entire situation. Also, you'll notice that I changed from praying for Lester Harvey, the gentleman that the bear dropped on him while he was hunting. He did pass away, so let's pray for his wife, April, and he has two boys. Keep them in prayer. Now, I mentioned Agnes got a clean bill of health, and she's very excited, can drive and take her training again. So it's a good thing. Any other items for prayer? Katie.
My friend Fred, some of you have met here, his daughter-in-law has breast cancer, and they found that it has spread. So,
do you know her first name?
Her first name is Kim. Kim Green.
So Fred Green, most of us met Fred, and his daughter Kim.
Daughter-in-law
has been diagnosed with breast cancer. So let's keep Fred and his family, especially Kim, in our prayers. Thank you. Carol?
Greg and Joan as they travel.
Okay.
And Greg.
Okay.
And for Betty Drinkard.
Let's keep Betty Drinkard in our prayers. Let's keep all those that will be traveling this holiday season in prayer. And we'll do that as well. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
The Mark Spain family.
I know that we all know him from TV, and Carolyn, you knew his wife. She works at Parkview. What's her name?
Lanita.
So let's keep Lanita and family in prayer. Thank you.
12-year-old Max.
Max
is their son. Max.
Okay. Let's keep Max in our prayers. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning. Anyone else? Yes, David.
Tony with an eye and her mother.
Okay. Let's keep Tony, who's battling bronchitis, and Barbara in our prayers. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you for the joy of this season. We thank you that the whole world joins with us in recognizing that this is the best time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year because it celebrates the most wonderful gift that we've ever received, and that is the gift of yourself. As you incarnated in Jesus of Nazareth out of love to reconcile us and to draw the world to yourself. That absolutely deserves and demands our praise and our joy. All is well because you not only are in the heavens, but because you came to earth. And truly, love came down and engulfed us all. So we celebrate and we praise and we thank you for this coming week. We thank you for the activities of today. We thank you for the life that we know in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for the life of those that we celebrate. We think of Patty and Carol and Carolyn and others that are celebrating birthdays this coming week. And we thank you. We pray that you'd be with those that are just experiencing some of the difficulties of living this physical life. We do pray that you would be with Evers, draw close and comfort him. May your healing properties be at work. Be with the doctors and all those technicians and everyone that are making decisions and trying to make assessments. Give them guidance and wisdom. Be with Chuck and Sarah as they seek to comfort one another and Evers. And we just commit it to you. We pray that you be with Kim. May your healing work in her. Be with her family and in particular Fred. Just uphold them all, we pray. We pray that you would be with Greg and his treatments, Greg and Joan and their travel. We pray that you would be with all those that are traveling this coming week. We pray that you would be with Betty Drinkard and Barbara Smith and bring healing to Tony. We'd ask in particular that the medications and whatnot would be effective so by Christmas you would be feeling well again. We also pray for those that have experienced loss this past week. In particular, we think of the Harvey family. We think of the Spain family. Draw close to April and to Lynette. Give them strength and encouragement. May in the midst of their tears, your presence be their gift. And may that presence be their strength. For while life hands out many opportunities and situations where happiness is not appropriate, the joy of the Lord is always not only appropriate, it's the one thing we cling upon. May we pray that for them, and in particular for their son, Max. We thank you for an opportunity to worship your name. We thank you for the love that we know only in Christ Jesus. Bless our worship, bless our fellowship to come, and we give you all the honor and glory and pray in your name. Amen. At this time, I'd ask the Williams to come up to light the completion of the four Advent candles.
When the people were looking for deliverance, the prophet Micah declared, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient day." Micah 5, verse 2. But what if Micah is also talking to us, proclaiming, "But you, O well church, from you shall come forth for me what?" What might God be calling forth from us?
God invites us to receive the promise of his salvation, the sustenance of his mercy and grace, enabling us to live the promise as Christ bears to the world. As Christ was born in Bethlehem, so too we cling to God's invitation to have Christ born among us today and every day.
We light this candle of love as a sign of our commitment to live as people of God's promise, the promise of salvation and flourishing for all people that springs forth from God's love for all creation.
As we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sins. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 80, calling each to worship by whole verse. Then we'll stand and sing hymn 180, the first Noel. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Benjamin and Manasseh, store up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angered by the prayers of your people?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us rich in our fingers, and our enemies laugh at us forevermore.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. ends the first reading.
Thanks be to God. And let us now sing hymn 188. Give us peace at all times and in every way and in every circumstance. So let the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and the peace of Christ rule in our hearts now and forevermore. For he has redeemed our hearts, transferring us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And as children of light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is Hebrews 10, 5-10. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, Behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. This ends the second reading.
Thanks be to God.
With the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. And he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. And he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to their home. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. A little homework. Really bless your soul. Jen just read, and last week being the third Sunday of Advent, I focused on Mary. I would encourage you sometime between now and Christmas, get on YouTube and look up the Magnificat sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That's beautiful. And then I forget the group. Also then put the Magnificat played on bagpipes. And you will think you've died and gone to heaven. Well, look, some of you on that, I think you may be thinking of another direction when it thinks of bagpipes, but the Magnificat is beautiful on any instrument. So may grace and peace from our Father and our Son, His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, be with you both now and forevermore. There'll be a lot of gift giving and exchanging this week. You'll give gifts and you'll get gifts. And as my dad used to say, I hope at the end of the week you'll be able to say that Santa has been good to me. I hope you enjoy it. But today I want to focus not so much on the quality of gifts. I want to focus on the process of you getting the gift. I don't want to focus so much on what you're getting, but how you're getting it. In our society, we have become increasingly depersonalized. We've become increasingly impersonal. It's accelerated in the last 10 years, but it's happened for the last 50 years. Some of you have heard me say that sociologists that study this thing say that what you can really tell a marked difference when somewhere in the late 40s, early 50s, the emphasis went from building homes that had front porches where people would sit after a meal and interact with their neighbors. I remember doing that at my grandparents' house. Do you remember front porches where you'd sit and interact? And around that time, the architecture reflecting the mood of society and our values went from building homes with front porches to back decks and privacy fences. So it's been happening for a long time, this what they call this being zoned out, this cocooning, not interacting with others. It's been exacerbated over the last 10 years by the internet. We've all seen that all too frequent scene of a family, or even I've seen it on a prom night one time. You could tell they were at prom, this young couple, because she had a little rose or something around her wrist and in fancy dress. You could tell it was a prom night at a nice restaurant, and they, after being seated, proceeded to both take out their cell phones and ignore the other. for the evening. It's also been hyper exacerbated by the pandemic, where somehow you felt guilty to interact with others, and you felt like you were in the best interest of your health and others to stay inside and to isolate. And it's affected how we give. It used to be you might get gifts from somebody who would stay at home and make a gift for you. They might craft something out of wood, or may make something out of yarn, or may make a special dish. Then it sort of progressed to where we'll just order something out of the wish book. And we'll just order you something. And now, we don't even really do that. We can drop ship it. We can look on Amazon, and I don't even have it to come to me. I can just have it sent to where I want it to go. Or even more, and I'm not awfully critical, especially if I'm the recipient, but it's come down to where we just, as a friend of mine says, we just trade cash at Christmas. I give you one Amazon gift card, and you give me another Amazon gift card. I would argue that while some of this is okay, the scripture makes a huge emphasis not only on gifts, but on how they're received. How they're received. If you'll look with me, either on your phone or on your scripture, to the first chapter of John. The first chapter of John, John the theologian of the four Gospels, he has the same subject, but he always will have the, and he won't look at the details of the incident. He looks at more the bigger picture, the theological picture. So you don't have a real incarnation or birth story like you do in Matthew and like you do in Luke. In John you have it, but it's more theologically told. In John 1, we know that famous verse that speaks to the eternality of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God with God, and the Word was God. Then we know in verse 14, he tells us what the gift is. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know what the gift is. It's Jesus Christ made in flesh. That is the gift. In verse 16 of John 1, we know who the recipients are. For from his fullness we all have received grace upon grace. But in verse 17, John tells us how, and I think this is instrumental and can't be quickly looked over. Verse 17 is so important. It's how God gave this gift of salvation. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now we can read that and say, well, it's saying the same thing. No, it's not. It says that the law was given. The Greek word for given means, is the Greek word didymai. It's to grant. It's to bestow. It's to release. If I cut a check and put it in the mail to a nonprofit organization, from that point, the way I understand the IRS regulations, which don't consult your own accountant on this, but I think this is true. If I sign it and put it in the mail, I can count it as a gift because I have released it. That's a word that's being used here. The law was given. It was just bestowed. But it's a different word when it says, but grace and truth came. It wasn't sent. It came, which is the Greek word genoemi. And it means to become or to arrive, or I love this way it can be translated, to show up. Do you see the difference in those emphases? One is I just sort of impersonally send it. The other was I show up. See, all the other religions, they believe that God sent instructions on things to do, or a list of rituals, or behaviors, or laws that you needed to follow. And religions all teach that God sent these things, and if we can faithfully do them, then we can work our way and reach God. Christianity said that it wasn't given, it came. And like the prodigal's father, who did what men at that day wouldn't do, because especially kings, they didn't go out. They had the subjects come to them. They sat on their throne and they had people come to them. But Jesus tells this parable in Luke 15 that our Father not only does the scandalous thing of coming to the inferior, He ran. He ran with joy. And the way our gift comes to us isn't by being sent. It came with joy. A body you have prepared for me. Let me give you an example. If you get a summons, someone who is deputized will show up representing a particular court jurisdiction, and they will dispatch a summons to you. Correct? How many of you would have accepted a marriage proposal if it had not, if it had been sent? Somebody showed up and say, "Hey, Sally, John was busy today, but I had the day off, and he wanted me, if I had the time, to come by, and John would like me to ask for your hand in marriage for him." I think only a silly bride would accept a proposal from a groom who simply sent it. You know, and see, we understand this. We say when you care enough to give the very best, but the ultimate truth is when you care enough to not only give the very best, but to understand that giving the very best is bringing yourself. And that's what our Savior did. That's why the incarnation is so important. You've heard me say before, and it may sound strange to you if you haven't, but this Advent, we've talked about a lot of wonderful gifts, haven't we? We've talked about hope. We've talked about peace. And we've talked about joy. And we've talked about love. Let me tell you, and listen carefully, and continue to listen. Jesus Christ does not give you hope, peace, joy, or love. These aren't just like concepts that He's going to give you this objective thing. No, we have something even better. He doesn't just give us these things. He comes to us and gives us Himself, who is peace, and who is joy, and who is love, and who is grace and truth and life. They're not a stand-in. Paul says in Ephesians 2, our peace is not something He gives us, it is His body. And He comes to us in a body. And we have it. So the old adage is true. The greatest present is what? Your presence. It's showing up. He came. If you think about it, that's been the cry of people throughout the ages. Come, Lord Jesus, come and rescue us. And He came. Not as a concept, not as a symbol, not as an idea. He came in a body. Have you ever thought about that? We've been hearing it for so long in such a clean and sanctimonious manner. Have you ever really stopped and thought the humiliation of how much God loved us to what He did for us? He not only sent hope and peace and love and joy, He came. And He didn't come, I may have, if I was Jesus, I might have negotiated when the Trinity was planning this and said, okay, that's fine, but send me to earth sort of the way you did Eve and Adam. Send me as a 30-year-old. But to be sent as a vulnerable baby, where you have the God who created all things, John tells us, the God who created all things had to learn how to walk again, had to learn how to crawl, who had to cry when he was hungry and wait around for a fairly busy, probably 14-year-old mother to get around to feeding me, had to go through all the suffering of just being human. The God that created all things, the God of all power and might, had to be placed in a situation where he got tired and he felt lonely. He knew what it was to be betrayed. See, it cost him not only on the cross, but his whole coming was a sacrifice. John goes on to tell us why he did this, why he came, why the gift was brought, not by being sent, but by him coming personally. He tells us why a couple chapters later in John 3. Why did he do this? You know the verse, first verse you probably learned. Why did he do this? For God so loved the world that he sent his Son who came. Aren't you glad it doesn't say, for God so loved the world, he gave us another law? Or God so loved the world that he gave us a set of rituals and rules that we have to follow? Or God so loved the world that he gave us a self-improvement plan? We continue to pull up our bootstraps. Aren't you even glad that God, it doesn't say God so loved the world that he gave us a plan of salvation? See, we don't worship a plan of salvation. We don't worship some doctrinal truth. We worship, and who's at the center is this gift who came as the gift. Him. He gave himself a body prepared by the Father, inscribed by the Word, born of the Virgin, offered on the cross, and present with us today. If you look, think of hymns, and I've been talking a lot of hymns. You know, there's a lot of hymns that beg for him to come. It isn't so much give us, it's to come. O come, Emmanuel. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. And probably maybe my favorite, one of my favorite hymns, but we usually don't think of it as a Christmas hymn. Come, thou fount of every blessing. See, it's not the blessings we want. I hope your life does have peace. And I hope you have joy. I hope you have love, and I hope you have hope. I hope you have good health. I hope you have financial abundance. I hope all your family gets along smoothly and your neighbors think you're the best thing that ever happened to the neighborhood. I hope your car continues to function well. I hope you get to travel and see the world. I hope you just get to enjoy anything. But at the end of the day, the only gift we need is that Jesus Christ would come. And he came. And he not only came then in the manger, and not only will he come in the future when he brings consummation and sets up his eternal kingdom, but we have his promise that even now he comes and meets us in his word and in the sacraments. Today, as we receive together, I want you to focus on how he brings that gift to you. And you're going to state it. And it's in the center of something that the church has used for centuries, for a millennia and a half. You're going to state, blessed is he who what? Comes in the name of the Lord. No wonder that hymn is called the hymn of unending praise. Because regardless of whatever other gift we have or don't have, if we have the gift of a God who incarnated himself and came to us out of love in Jesus Christ, we have all we need in the one eternal gift that will give us the joy both then, now, and forever. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is a good and joyful thing to give our thanks to you, Lord God of hosts. O Ancient of Days, for from of old you have called forth life. You brought into being every detail of creation and gave birth to your covenant people. When the time drew near, you called upon Bethlehem to bear the hope you promised and summoned Mary to bear your holy child. By your grace, the child grew to be the one to bear not only our sins, but the sins of the world. In his dying and rising, you gave birth to everlasting life for all your children. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we sing your praise and join the unending hymn. Holy,
holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God of Mary, whose womb bore the sacred fruit of our salvation, bring forth from this fruit of the vine your cup of blessing. As we remember around this table your Son's saving passion poured out for us, send your Holy Spirit upon your church to make us bearers of your Christ, your mercy, your hope. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of holy expectation, let your face shine upon us and your dawn break upon us that we may be saved. Make your church expectant in faith as we labor for what we cannot yet see. Come and dwell with your people who yearn to be restored, to be forgiven, to belong. Let the warmth of your face shine upon those who seek the peace long promised. For Bethlehem, for Jerusalem, and for all your waiting world, Bring us with the saints who have looked for your coming to the day when we and all your children shall celebrate and leap for joy in your holy presence. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our sacred scripture is inspired to even the particular words that are used. There are no coincidences in the placement of those words. If we think of the first birth mentioned in the Bible, the first birth mentioned, the first human delivery of a human body mentioned is in Genesis 3:15, where in that first gospel, God promises that the man he created and the woman he created from the man's side, because of the fall that they took into sin, that it would be rectified by the giving and coming of one who would be born. And the one born of that coming Mary would crush the Satan head of the one who was birthed by that first mother Eve. As Irenaeus said, Mary untied what Eve tied. So it was through a birth. It was through a body. And that word is used again, not coincidentally, when Jesus said, I have come as a body. And it was his body that was birthed, and it was his body that was sacrificed. And we are his body. And he has promised that he would continue to be in and with his body through his word and his body. So we come and receive the very body of Christ, that we, as the very body of Christ, can go forth continuing to show the glory of God's love, a love that wasn't just sent, but came down in Christ Jesus. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive the very body of Christ. And in so receiving, be strengthened that we go forth shining not as the light, but reflecting the light that shines upon us all. He is our Passover Lamb. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
Our Father, since we know that there is no good but God, we know that all good gifts must come from the only source of all goodness. And the greatest of all goodness is the good himself. We thank you that in your infinite perfection, out of love, you chose to be made a body. For no other reason than to redeem those that you found pleasure in reclaiming as your own. As we look back on this past year, and as we look forth upon the unknown year to follow, we are totally unaware of many things. We find the past to have points we wouldn't have predicted, nor can scarcely understand. As we look forward, we not only see through a glass dimly, we see not at all. But we have a word. We have an eternal word that's fixed in the heavens. We have a word that has never failed. A word whose veracity is perfect, for it's issued by all goodness itself. And that word is that your love drove you to be Emmanuel. Not just God who sent love and peace and hope and joy, but a love that God became with us. So may we be held by that promise, encouraged by your Spirit, and lean into the true goodness that comes only from your presence. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship singing hymn 192. before you leave, I hope that you're able to stay. Everyone's welcome, and you can either drive around or use the steps. If you leave, I'll be there to greet you as you go. You know, I try every Christmas to give some type of, find some type of giveaway that I can give to the congregation, and I'm as excited about this one as any. It's a leather bound, and basically it's the life of Jesus set chronologically using the actual words of Scripture. And it's small enough to carry in your pocket or your purse, and why I'm excited about it is because of the promise of Isaiah. You know, the word will not return void. It'll accomplish what it was intended to do. So please take one of these as my appreciation of being able to serve as your pastor, and my confidence that if you sink into the Word of God, you will be blessed. Let us hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.